This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I'm Trey Gowdy.
I'm Martha McCallum.
I'm Ben Domenech, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, April 29th, 2024. I'm Eben Brown. A deadline comes and goes at Columbia University and nothing happens. The tents of pro-Hamas protesters stand.
A lot of this is very performative. They want the cameras. They want the spotlight. And I think that this whole thing would have solved itself. Sometimes the best thing to do is nothing. But the president keeps issuing these deadlines as if something's going to happen. It riles everybody up. It brings in a horde of reporters, and the students are getting what they want.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Columbia University's president and other leaders sent the message during Monday, come 2 p.m. and you need to be out. And you need to sign a piece of paper saying you were leaving and you would not even engage in illegal protests on campus again. And if you fail to do this, you face suspension, meaning you miss finals or even fail to graduate. And 2 o'clock came and nobody left. In fact, more people came to join the ongoing pro-Hamas crowd at Columbia's campus on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Now what do they do?
One of the things I certainly would be doing if I were the campus police's head of campus police is I would be telling the campus president, stop issuing deadlines that you don't do anything about, that you don't meet.
Paul Morrow is a retired inspector with the NYPD. He is now our Fox News contributor.
Because, you know, you've lost all credibility with these students. They're just not intimidated.
Let's talk about the deadline, because there was a 2 p.m. deadline set for today. It was even published in both online and in a letter that was sent to everyone saying you must leave. You must even attest that you've left. And here comes 2 o'clock, or it's after 2 o'clock. And now more people have shown up and no one's being cleared out. This doesn't feel like it's going to end. So What would the university do now, or is there really nothing they can do?
Well, I actually think that they had been in a good space until they started issuing more deadlines. And what I mean by that is the following. They have decided, apparently, that they're just not going to take any police action. And it's private property, and that's their prerogative. They have already gone to remote learning, which means that Jewish students who had been harassed and intimidated are not there anymore. So that ship sailed. And I'm not justifying that. In fact, I've been saying that the Jewish students should be looking at a class action lawsuit for the way they've been treated up there.
Yeah.
But now that we're past that, what they should have done is just left it as it was. And I'll tell you why. Because realistically, between the semester is over and it's getting hotter. The conditions on the ground there in Tent City are getting more and more uncomfortable, and they should probably ensure that these kids are not getting any electric hookups, et cetera. Do what you can to keep them uncomfortable, and eventually they're going to go away, because a lot of this is very performative. They want the cameras. They want the spotlight. The only thing that Columbia is worried about is the commencement. That's the deadline that does matter. They should have given a deadline, let's say 3 days before the commencement, to say all of you need to be out of here then. And if anybody that is still there at that point, we are going to ask for arrests. But furthermore, you will be expelled if you're a student. And that's a couple of weeks out. I doubt very much most of them would last. And I think that this whole thing would have solved itself. Sometimes the best thing to do is nothing. But the president keeps issuing these deadlines as if something's going to happen. It riles everybody up. It brings in a horde of reporters, and the students are getting what they want.
even though leaving these kids be for the meantime, that comes with a security and safety risk too. I mean, these protests, we've seen them not just at Columbia, but on these other campuses, they've not been peaceful. They've been more than just, you know, people hanging out in tents or doing a drum circle. I mean, we've seen fires lit. We've seen violence. Certainly this can't go unabated. As you've mentioned, it's private property. There's really only so much the New York Police Department can do without being invited in to stop it.
That's exactly right. In public spaces, in some of these other universities, like the University of Texas at Austin, and as happened here at NYU, the protesters were blocking the sidewalk, blocking the streets in public areas. And as a result, the police are empowered to take police action. And they did here. That's why you're not hearing much about NYU right now, because the police moved in, cleared the sidewalks, made arrests.
Right.
Up at Columbia, though, without the complainant of Columbia University, there's really nothing you can do as the police, because there's nobody to press the charges. And so what happens then, and what could still happen, by the way, if the president of Columbia decides, okay, I'm going to press charges, get them out of there again. Police will go in. The students now are very empowered. There's more cameras than cops. There's more cameras than students.
Right.
And so there'll be all kinds of confrontations. Some of them will get physical. It'll all go out into social media. The police will be cast as thugs. They all sue the police department. The courts settle in their favor, or the courts rule in their favor. The city settles. They get a lot of money, in some cases millions. It goes into the coffers of the professional agitators who generally organize and run these things, and the cycle continues.
Our guest is retired NYPD Inspector Paul Murrow. He's a Fox News contributor, and we're speaking about the end, or the attempt to end, the protest at Columbia University in New York City. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead. How would you, as a experienced police commander, break up these types of protests? I mean, we as you've noted, there are so many cameras, and we've seen what happens when things come to a head. There's video, I think, from the University of Georgia, where a very stocky Georgia State trooper is lifting up a protester and just sort of carrying them out by their legs. But what would be the most ideal way to do this if you had to send in a whole battalion of officers or deputies to get this done?
Well, that's a delicate business, obviously, and it has to depend upon the conditions that you're confronting, right? So let's take Columbia. I would take as the rubric for that Occupy Wall Street, which was allowed to go 10 weeks and which was very detrimental, people won't realize, to the finances of the area and et cetera. So what the cops did there is they made sure they had their legal legs under them. And once they had ascertained that you had a health risk and a public safety risk, they went in at like 5 a.m. and all these students were asleep and they didn't have a whole lot of fight in them. And it was about the size of the Columbia thing. So it's roughly commensurate. And as a result, they went through it piece by piece. There were, you know, some minor squabbles, but for the most part, you woke them up out of a deep sleep and they went pretty peacefully. And then as soon as you clear it, you make sure that they don't reoccupy, which was one of the mistakes that happened in Columbia day one. In a public area where they're committed just to battling you, unfortunately, the paradigm in policing when you're legally in the right, when you're enforcing legal laws, is ask, tell, make. That's the progression. Sometimes you have to go right to make in an emergency situation. A lot of these students just don't realize that. And they don't realize that if they don't comply, the police are going to tell them they have to comply. And if they don't comply, the police are going to make them comply. And that's how our law and system works. And so it may not look great because a lot of these folks have never so much as, had a scuffle in a playground or never seen a bar fight. But unfortunately, this is what it is. And so when the cops grab somebody and put them in cuffs, they start screaming like it's the end of the world. And all they're being what's being done is they're putting in being put into a pair of flex cuffs. And it's just, it's a lot of it is performative and it's really just there for the cameras. But if you got to force them, you force them. You do it a piece at a time. Sometimes you can quadrant it off and you get them out of there and you make sure they don't come back. That's key.
Part of making them not come back, I think, might be out of the police hands, especially in New York. Look, we've seen the awful real world impacts of things like cashless bail and being released on one's recognizance. Clearing these people out do they stay away? How do you make sure they stay away? Because they likely won't necessarily be in jail, if not for very long anyway. I mean, this isn't Texas or Georgia.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. You know, all of these blue cities have gone to cashless bail. Your options there are limited. You do want to make sure that you charge to the limits of what you are legally permitted to do. Work with the DAs to make them realize that if we don't go the right route now, we're just going to have to redo this all in a couple of days or tomorrow, which is what happened up at Columbia. They probably could have charged misdemeanors there. And those misdemeanors come with photographs of criminal record and fingerprints.
Right.
Instead, they charge the trespass violation, which is just a summons. And that's just a piece of paper. It's like a glorified parking summons. So that hurt them there. If you give them some real, that is the students, if they're arrested and they have to go really through the system and have to deal with the fact that, man, they now have a police record. Their mugshot is potentially public, which is something they really don't want. That's why they're all wearing masks and sunglasses. They don't want to be identified. You can really steal this thing. And everything I've just described is legal. Again, you ask, tell, make. You want to use the minimum amount of force necessary. And sometimes that makes it look uglier because the kid is struggling and, you know, the person is struggling because a lot of these people are older. They're professional agitators. They've been through the mill. But, you know, you have to use just enough force to overcome them to get them in cuffs and get them out of there. In a confined space like a quad or a Zuccotti Park, as we have for Occupy Wall Street,
right?
You can put police there to keep them from setting up the permanent encampments. On the open areas of the street, however, the best way to keep them from coming back is as soon as you see it start to spark up, you interdict it then. As soon as you're legally in the right to do it, you kill it in the cradle. And the best way to do that is with good intelligence. You have to keep an eye on what's going on online. These groups are public by nature. They want people to come to their rallies and their demonstrations. But if you see people calling for an unpermitted, that is an illegal demonstration, get your cops out there, get in front of it, and you can keep it from happening.
Paul Morrow, you're a former NYPD inspector, and you're our Fox News contributor. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Anytime, sir.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.